kinds of ways in which we find ourselves enslaved, living small rather than big. Because our culture says winning is accumulating and accomplishing more. Yet the things that entice us are often the things that enslave us. We have a story that simply says, love God, love neighbor. Love God, love neighbor. Avad is about what we are saved for. It's about what we are saved for. So it goes like this. Our yes to God frees us from slavery and simultaneously frees us for participation in the healing and the restoration of the world. There is a Hebrew saying, it's called Tikkun Olam. And some of you went like you went to the Lion King thing, I know. No. Tikkun Olam, and here's what it means. Giving oneself for the healing of the world. They understand this is the scriptures, is to give ourselves for the healing of the world. Freedom is when what I want is what God wants, and God wants to put it all back together. How are we participating with God and putting it all back together? Anybody see the movie by chance, The Passion of the Christ? Number of years ago. Yes, so what's fascinating in this movie is the actor who played Jesus, imagine that. Well, we need you to rehearse, you're going to play Jesus. Whew. His name is Jim Caviezel. And Jim Caviezel, in the midst of studying and participating in to play this role, it completely undid him. And he, in that, had to wrestle with things. And out of that, after making the movie, he began to tour the world, but in a lot of ways, he began to tour the American church and speaking to the church and challenging the church because of what he experienced, and he began to call the church and say, listen, there is something before you that I think it is imperative for you to get. So Jim Caviezel, the actor, said this, every generation of Americans needs to know that freedom exists to do, not to do what you like, but having the right to do what you ought. Are you with me? Are you with Jim? You see what he's saying here. Your freedom is for something bigger, not just for your frivolousness. It's for something way more. So he says, church, you're free from, and you need to set your heart and minds to what you're free for. My biggest frustration in my life is expending energy on things that just matter, little or not. Ridiculous arguments. Things that exhaust you where you're like, I'm kind of emotionally spent, physically spent. And that right there is not going to go on forever. What did I do? Which then weakens me. I only have so much energy to give. Now I don't have the energy to give to the things that matter most. Nothing more frustrates me. And as an introvert, believe it or not, I am an introvert. It's funny because I'll get up in front of a million people and I'm thrilled. Put me in a room with four people and I shrivel. Ugh, what are we going to do here? And then someone mentions the weather and I cave. Death. Oh, we're going to talk about small stuff. So as an introvert, small things, oh, please, let's not do that right now. Hey, what'd you have for breakfast? I'm going home now. So the idea of that kind of thing, it just bleeds my soul. What I want to talk about is depth and celebration. Because here's the thing, generosity and joy have no ceiling. If you've thought about, there's no limit, no ceiling to joy, to generosity. There's no limit. No limit. We do not have to be confined to narrow spaces and confined living. We're free from that to this. To follow God is to be big-hearted and open-minded. God frees us from narrow spaces and for never-ending possibilities through giving and serving and helping others experience freedom. This is the invitation. Proverbs 15:15. I love this. So the wisdom literature gives us a good snapshot. And it says this, all the days of the oppressed are wretched, but the cheerful heart has a continual feast. Here's the thing. The word cheerful, are you ready? Tov. Go ahead and say tov. Tov, most often translated in the Hebrew scriptures as good. In the beginning, God created and said it was Tov. And then he said it was Tov. And then he said it was Tov. Good, 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 cheerful. Here's the thing. It means becoming, growing, green, and fresh. It's becoming, it's growing, it's heading somewhere, it's not done, it's not finished, it's dynamic. So here's the thing, the oppressed, oh, their days are wretched, but the cheerful heart, the tov, becoming, growing, green, fresh heart, has a continual feast. What is that? It's a never-ending party. Can you say party? The growing, becoming heart has a never-ending, expanding celebration. Why this is important is because is that your view of the church? Is that your view of Christians? They are the absolute best partiers. They know how to throw a celebration like no other. Is that the view in our world of the church and Christians? Because here's the thing. When I was growing up, what it was is we're going to have a party. And what it was is in the basement where the carpet was puke green, the mildew was everywhere, and we had stale ham buns and Aunt Lucy's weird potato salad. What? Have we lost the plot? And then we're like, and this is a party. I remember as a kid and I go, this is a party? Sweet heavens, it's all downhill from here. We have the best to celebrate because we're free from, so we should throw the best parties. Where does the journey out of Egypt begin? So let's read Exodus 3. Exodus 3. And we'll just read the first four verses. Where does the journey out of Egypt begin? Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, well, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. When God said, he's paying attention. So here's what I love. The ancient rabbis, they sit in Midrash. They commentate on this thing. Rabbi Lawrence Kushner, love him. He points out, this is far less a miracle, a burning bush on fire, because actually in the desert, just so you know, there's a certain kind of plant that in the heat will burst into flames. And so they talk about it now. It doesn't happen all the time, but would it be uncommon for Moses to see a bush on fire? Would it be out of the ordinary? Not necessarily. But then when he picks up on this thing is not being consumed, how long do you have to stare at it to make sure this thing's not burning up? It's not burning up. He's paying attention. So the rabbis say it's less a miracle and more a test. God is asking the question, is anyone paying attention? Is anyone paying attention? Like even now, is anyone paying attention? Because if you are paying attention, great, then he goes over. Now God says, now let's have a conversation. God speaks after he knows you're paying attention. And then he speaks and he says, Moses, Moses. I think God's looking for people to pay attention. In our world of technology and everything, and where we're doing this all the time, and we're doing this and we're doing this even when we're driving. And God is like, would someone please pay attention? Because I'm speaking. There's burning bushes everywhere. Is anyone paying attention? And then he speaks. Here's the crucial part. The response is critical. Moses responds, here I am. Here I am. Go ahead and say, here I am. The Hebrew phrase is hineni. Go ahead and say hineni. Hineni. Hineni means to be fully present, to be alert, to be ready. Moses says, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. Here I am. I'm fully present. I'm locked in. Let's do this, God. Whatever it is that's going on, I am here and I am ready. Which leads us to Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24, verse 12. Watch this. This is so goofy. Now the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there. Does that make like grammatical sense? Hey, could you come stand, could you come over here and be here? Well, I was going to go over there and be over there. Didn't make, well, you know why it's written that way? You know the Hebrew, what it's saying is? Here's the thing. I need you to come here and be present. Because you know what? God knows about Moses. Moses, when you get to the top of the mountain, when you get here, I know where your head's going to go. Well, how do I get down? You're immediately going to think, what's next? What's the next thing? How do I get out of here? And so he's like, I need you to come here and be here with me. That's the deal. Will you do that? This is the beginning of freedom. In other words, to stop being distracted by small and be present to the presence. This is where it begins. Be present to the presence. Franciscan Father Richard Rohr says this. We cannot attain the presence of God because we're totally in the presence of God. What's absent is awareness. What's absent is waking up and being alert to what is happening before us. Wanting out of slavery begins with being fully present, honest and aware we are enslaved. Maybe technology, maybe it's drugs, maybe it's work, maybe it's craving more small stuff. Name it. What is it that captures me? Name it. The power of being rescued from slavery isn't that it happened in this story, it's that it happens every single day. That we're rescued from, so we're rescued for. Now we can grow up and have life to the full, overflowing. And often our freedom from is the launching pad and the passion to what we are free for. Bishop Desmond Tutu and Henry Nouwen coined phrase, whichever one said it first, but they talked about being a wounded healer. That thing that hurt you the most is now a way in which you're rescued from that in order to help people in the midst of that. So, here's what launched the teaching for me. This is a summary. If we throw this up, wake up. This is where it begins. Oh, what is this? This is a people that wake up and be present to the presence. Name the narrow. What is it that enslaves you? Name it. What is the narrow living that keeps me in? Liberation. We understand that the Father frees us. God rescued us. Memory magnifies mission. I remember not to wallow in shame and guilt, unhelpful. I remember so that I live forward. Oh, I remember what I'm rescued from. Gratitude magnifies the mission. Memory does. Restoration, celebration. Man, God's putting it all back together. He's putting me back together. We get to celebrate this. Come on. And then it's this. Oh, everyone is welcome to the party. I am living in such gratitude, and I am free, and this is fantastic. So everyone come to the party. You've got to experience this. Come on. Come on. We should be a people that are thrilled to just say, you ought to come to the party. God wants to free us all. And this is where it begins. So we ask the question, what do you need to be free from? Write it down, name it. What do you need to be rescued from? And what might you be rescued for? What might you be rescued for? Eggs and toilet paper. Can we return to this? You want to know why? Because these simple, very simple things mean very, very different things to me now. You understand when I see these things, I see opportunity to serve, to give, to offer hospitality. The simplest, smallest, easiest ways. It went from, I'm free from, so apparently anything is a weapon, anything is chaos, to I'm free from, and I'm free for taking that, the smallest thing, and serving and giving and loving and caring, and there's way more going on. So what happened? Did these things become Christian? No. But my life's radically changed by Christ. I'm free from, and so everything I see has got a new lens. That's an opportunity. That's a resource. That right there can be for freedom. That's the invitation. When we understand that, we live lives on mission. We sing from a place of freedom. We celebrate and we go and we serve and work. All of life is worship. We don't come here to worship. We come here worshiping. We come here worshiping, and then we collectively get to worship together in order to be sent to continue worshiping through serving and working and giving and loving. And it starts by how you live. Are you with me? All right. I'd love to pray and then offer a benediction, and then we get to go and be the church. We get to live on mission. Father God, you are amazing. You are tov. You are good. You're beyond good. You rescued us from all of the ways in which we can find ourselves in slavery. God, alert us, wake us up, shake us even now to those things that enslave us. Alert us, remind us of that, that we would write it down. We'd capture it and say, this thing, these things, this. It takes too much of my time, my energy, my soul, and I'm tired of it. And God, you are the rescuer. You free us. You said it's finished. You've done the work. And we are invited to step into the freedom. Four people finding their way back to you. We are free from so that we can be about that mission, your mission, God. Would it be about you with everything that we do and how we parent and how we are as spouses, as neighbors, as friends, as workers, employees, everything, as owners of businesses, whatever it is we do, it's an opportunity to worship you, God. Remind us of that. Remind us of that. Remind us of that. That our memory would be in our bones. And it would help us to live on mission. God, I pray that you will free this community as you have for something bigger. May we step into that now. May we walk out of these doors knowing we are free for what you want. That's putting it all back together. People finding their way back to you. We pray all this in the name of Christ Jesus, our liberator. Amen. Amen. Part one. Church, may you know today, may you know that you are free from. The work has been done. God did the work to set you and I free. May you claim that freedom. Name the thing or things that have enslaved you and know that free from. And what then are you free for? Who are your neighbors? Who are those you can serve in the simplest of ways? Toilet paper and eggs, meals, water, cookies, whatever it may do to say, man, I'm going to be the church. This is who you created me to live as. May you, church, go from here being the church, the hands and feet of Christ. And as you go, know that the grace and peace of Christ is with you. Amen.